There's a book out called 12 Christian Beliefs That Can Drive You Crazy. It's by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. And these two guys are clinical psychologist Christians. And they wrote a book about some false misconceptions about Christianity. And I want to read to you this morning a story about a man named Roy to open up this sermon. It had been more than 2 years since Roy and I had seen each other. Because he lived in another state, we didn't get together very often, so we had a lot of catching up to do during a quiet breakfast one morning. But our lack of communication wasn't entirely due to geographical distance. There were things we needed to talk out. 18 months earlier, Roy had dropped off the face of the earth. A successful Christian businessman, he had been my friend for many years, and one day, he was fine, I'd been told. The next day, he moved out of his home, took an apartment, and virtually disappeared. For over a year, Roy was out of contact with his friends and colleagues. He kept his job and he visited his kids, but no one else ever saw him. He didn't return phone calls. Secretaries and answering machines ran interference for him. His friends speculated about what had happened to Roy. Had he lost his faith? Had he gone crazy? Roy wasn't talking. One night, out of the blue, Roy called me at my home, and he asked me if we could get together. We made plans, and he flew in the next day. Over breakfast, Roy told me his story. For about a year, he had been under extremely intense business pressure that required more of him than he had. He had tried to tough it out and be strong for others. Times were tough, he told me. I knew if my struggles were bad, others had to be much worse. A deeper depression followed. Roy had shared his problems with only a few people. Get some time away, one had told him. Rekindle with the Lord. Do a personal inventory of yourself, said another. Chances are you've dropped your walk with God to a lower priority. A third told him, God's rod and staff will comfort you. So Roy began spending more time in the Bible and in prayer. And since stress and worry were waking up at 4 a.m. anyway, he started using that time for his devotions. But his depression continued. Black hopelessness and despair engulfed him. His depression finally got the best of him, and Roy's emotional pain became so intense that he oiled and loaded his revolver to prepare for the only solution he knew. But before he went ahead with the plan, he decided to move out for a few weeks and try to sort things out with the Lord. One more shot at prayer, one more shot at inspiring Bible study. Perhaps he hadn't really connected with God during the other attempts. Perhaps it would be different this time. But it wasn't. Roy prayed intently for hours on his knees. He read the scriptures, poring over them to seek the Lord, and his depression grew. You're still with us, I said to Roy that morning. What happened? It was the strangest thing, he recalled. As I was deciding to go ahead and end my life, my apartment neighbor knocked on my door to borrow a Phillips screwdriver. I got it for him, and we started talking. He wasn't a Christian, but he seemed interested. Bill let me talk and talk and talk about my pain and my life, about my insane business pressures, about my marriage struggles, about my abusive mother and my absent father, about my acting out school years, about my brother who had let me down, about my conversion to Christ and how my life started coming around, about my many years of rescuing the world for God, and how the demands on me just kept growing and growing. And Bill listened and asked questions. He didn't offer advice. He told me he thought I had a really tough life, that was all. And after a couple of hours of my bending his ear, he asked if we could go out to dinner, and we did. And then he told his story. Roy looked thoughtful. It was the funniest thing. Bill didn't tell me to do anything. He wasn't even sure of God. He didn't say one word about God. And yet, for some reason, I felt better after talking to him than I did after talking to God. And I hate the way that sounds, but it's true. I met some of Bill's friends. They were like him, people who had struggled, some believers, most not, but everyone seemed to want to listen to each other's problems. Nobody asked me to take care of them. Nobody asked me for spiritual advice. I could say whatever I felt, and they just accepted me. I felt guilty because I wasn't around Christians, but I stopped wanting to kill myself and, strangely, pretty much given up on. Can you believe that? Feeling close to God with a bunch of non-believers. Anyway, after about a year, I started sensing more substance, I guess you'd call it, inside me. And I knew I needed to get back to my family and my friends and my life. So I'm home now, and everybody thinks I'm crazy, but I'm not talking much about it. But for some reason, I'm more ready to re-enter life. Roy leaned forward across the table, which leads me to why I wanted to talk to you. Why am I better? Why did hanging around with a bunch of ordinary people help me? I believe God is sufficient for my needs, and yet it seems that he wasn't. So what's the deal? Is the Bible wrong? Isn't God enough for my needs? Today we're continuing our list on the bucket list, the things that you should do on your list before you kick the bucket. And it's based on the Rob Reiner film, The Bucket List, which, believe it or not, if you haven't seen the movie, it is still playing in theaters because it's been a slow theater week, right? It's a slow theater month. And this morning when I sketched out this sermon series months ago, I wanted to talk this morning about Christian fellowship. I wanted to talk to you about how important it is for you in your life to come to church, to experience worship together as Christians, to find those Christians you can be friends with, to share life with, to share your struggles with, and your joys with. And as preparing for the sermon, I came across this story about Roy. And I'm preparing for the story, and I kept coming back to this story about Roy. Because Roy was doing everything that I was going to tell you that you should do in your life. You should find Christian fellowship. You should come here and you should work together. And yet Roy did that and it wasn't enough. And I realized pretty soon that my words to you of encouragement to be part of a Christian community might be a little empty. And instead, what I need to be talking to is the Christian community. And what is it about the Christian community that people like Roy slip through our fingers? What is it that we need to talk about this morning as a Christian community to say this is what we should be as a church for other people who are struggling in life that come in the door and they're looking for answers? What are we going to do about it? How are we going to prevent the Roys in our life from slipping through our fingers? So that's what I want to talk to you this morning on our bucket list. And I've come across three things that I think that we need to talk about. And the first thing is this. Maybe the reason why people like Roy happen is because we as a church don't listen. We just don't listen. We did this sermon series on James a month ago, but that verse in James still comes out clear as everything, James 1:19, where he says this, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." And yet, are we quick to listen and slow to speak, or is it the other way around? We're quick to speak and slow to listen. This is a true story. It happened a couple weeks ago. I was having problems because I wanted to get on the internet to make some changes to my phone system, and I realized that the phone system had not given me my password for the internet. And so I called the internet company to get my password so I could get on the internet. And who answers but a voice that was not a human voice? It was a computer. And the computer said, "In order to better serve you, could you please enter in your account number? Please speak it clearly." So I went and got the account number, and I speaked it. And I'm not lying about this, folks. I said, "My account number is 555-2212. And it came back and said, "I understand that your account number is 756-3944. If this is correct, please press 1. But it didn't give me another option. What am I supposed to do? That's not the right number. "Please enter your number again. If you'd like, you can choose the touch-tone phone." So I used the touch-tone phone and entered it in. "Thank you. What would you like to call about?" "Internet password. We understand that you'd like to pay your account. If this is correct, please press 1. "I don't want to pay my account. My account's up to date. I want my password." "Password. You want to pay your account. If this is correct, password. If you want to pay internet." "I'm sorry, we're having trouble. Could you please speak clearly into the microphone and tell us what it is that you would..." "I want to talk to somebody." And I think sometimes people come into the church and they want to talk to people and we just give them pat answers. "You know, hey, I need somebody to talk to." "Hey, pray to God. He'll take care of you. You know, I really need somebody to..." "Oh, don't worry about it. Just get down on your knees and read the scriptures and everything will be okay." And we don't take the time, folks. We don't take the time to really listen to people's needs. We feel like that machine that I just got so frustrated with. You know, if you read the story about Roy, he was trying to tell people, hey, I'm struggling in life. They just weren't listening. Listening to people takes time. It takes a lot of time. It takes patience. It takes endurance. But if you really care about people, you'll sit down with them and you'll just listen to them and really try to understand what it is they're trying to say. You know, Jesus Christ came and listened to us. He took the time to get onto earth and get into our level and to spend time with us and to listen with us when he came on this earth. So we don't listen. What are some of the other things that we don't do? Well, we also don't. When we don't listen to people, we sometimes, when they do tell us, we almost act as if like sinning is a bad thing, or people who are struggling is a bad thing. You know, we somehow think that when people are Christians, their lives are going to be transformed and they won't struggle anymore. And so when people come into the church and they're struggling, we don't necessarily let them struggle. We want to come up with the quick fix, don't we? Oh, just read Scripture and God will take your struggles away. Folks, there are times when we struggle for a reason. There are times when God puts these barriers in our lives and we struggle. And we struggle with things. We struggle with anxiety. We struggle with depression. Sometimes we struggle with temptations. And it is just the quick fix to think that we just need to go there and fix that. The fact is, sometimes God wants us to go through those struggles so that we can become stronger people afterwards. I love that verse in Scripture. That time when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane that we read this morning. You're probably wondering, what in the world was a Lenten text doing on there today? But look at what happened with Jesus. Matthew 26, 38. Listen to this. Then he, Jesus, said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Even Jesus struggled. And he had to struggle. He had to struggle with that moment where he was going to go to the cross and do an amazing thing for you and me. And if he hadn't gone through that struggle, he wouldn't have gone to the cross. Don't just think as a church that we're going to eliminate people's struggles in their lives. What people are looking for is someone to surround them and to love them and to walk with them when they're going through the struggles of their lives. And the last thing I'd like to talk about is that we don't necessarily connect people with ministry. We don't connect people with ministry. People come in, they worship, and they leave, and that's all we see them. But I love the picture of the early church that we read from Acts this morning, Acts 2. Just listen to this. Peter preached a sermon, and all the people came, and there was 3,000 baptized that day. And what did they do? Did they go home? No, they started being church. They started doing things together. Listen to what Acts 2, 42 says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of the bread and prayer, and everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave everyone as he had needs. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I just love this picture of the church in Acts. It's this church that's excited. They want to get together every day. They want to break bread. They want to listen to the apostles' teaching. They want to go out and do service for the Lord. And that's a church that's growing. That's a church that's exciting. That's a church that's filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet sometimes I think churches, they forget what the church of Acts was like. And they simply think that church is just coming to church on Sunday morning, worshiping and going home, and it's never a part of their life again. Jesus wants you to be filled with his Spirit, to have fellowship with this group, to have a group where you can talk and people will listen, to have a group where people aren't just going to deny your struggles, but they're going to hold you by the hand and help you get in with you, with your struggles. A church that's dynamic and exciting and seeing how you can be a part of God's ministry here on earth. If we could have a church like that, that would really warm the cockles of my heart. And I have no idea what cockles of your heart are. But it really would. I wonder about Roy. Says he went back to his church and didn't talk about it. I wonder if people even noticed that Roy left. I wonder if people even noticed when Roy got back. We're going to make mistakes as a church, folks. We're not going to follow these rules exactly. And that's why Jesus Christ came to this earth. So even his perfect bride, the one that he loves so much, even when they mess up, he forgives them. Because he went to the cross to die for their sins. That means he went to the cross to die for you. And all the mistakes you're going to make. In Jesus' name, amen.